जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद द्वैत चंद्र. So we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9, beginning with text number 74. Siyali Bhairava Devi Kari Darasana Kaveri Ratire Aila Sachira Nandana. After visiting the temple of Siyali Bhairavi, another form of Goddess Durga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, went to the bank of the river Kaveri. Purport. Siyali Bhairavi is located in the Tanjore district, about 48 miles east of Tanjore city. There's a celebrated temple of Lord Shiva there, and also a very large lake. It is said that one small boy, a devotee of Lord Shiva, came to that temple and Goddess Durga, known as Bhairavi, gave him her breast to suck. After visiting this temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the bank of the river Kaveri via the district of Trichinopoly. The Kaveri is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Verse 40, as a very pious river. So we're reading about Lord Chaitanya traveling to the various holy places. So here he visited Siyali Bhairavi, another form of Goddess Durga. Go samaji siva deki aila veda vana mahadeva deki tanre karila vandana. The Lord then visited a place known as Go Samaj, where he saw Lord Shiva's temple. He then arrived at Vedavan, where he saw another deity of Lord Shiva and offered him prayers. Purport. Go Samaj is a place of pilgrimage for devotees of Lord Shiva. Is very important and located next to Vedavan. Amrita Linga Shiva Deki Vadana Karila Sabha Shiva Lae Shaiva Vaishnava Haila. Seeing the Shiva deity named Amrita Linga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Shiva into Vaishnavas. So it's very interesting. Sometimes we're over fanatic about visiting temples of anything other than Krishna or Vishnu. But here we see Mahaprabhu visited Bhairavi temples and Shiva temples. In fact, in Mararari Gupta's Karacha, I'm not sure what temple it was, but Mahaprabhu entered one Shiva temple and he spontaneously spontaneously made a prayer to Lord Shiva called Shivastakam. Now we always heard from, as a young devotee, that Mahaprabhu only wrote 8 prayers of Shikshastakam. But according to the histories that our dear Gaurabhadra Dasara Sutta has dug up in Murari Gupta's notebooks, it describes the Shivastakam, 2 prayers of which I memorized by heart. First one is very nice. Second one, you'll understand why it's my favorite of the 2 verses. I can't remember how it began. Maybe he's Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva Ityadi Nama Mritapanamata. Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Sori, that's it. But Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Sori, Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva, Ityadi Nama Mritapanamata, Bringadi Payat Kila Dukahantre. In this verse, Lord Chaitanya refers to Lord Shiva as Akila Dukha Hantri, as a person who removes the sorrow of the whole world. Akila Dukha Hantri. How is he able to do that? Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Sori, Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva, Ityadi Namamrita Panamata. In Sanskrit, Adi means etc. All of these names, Shivrama, Govinda, Mukunda, so he's chanting all these names. Ityadi, all etc. Many more names of Krishna. What is, not that he's chanting, actually, Ityadi nama amrita panamata. Panamata, he's absorbed in relishing. Nama amrita, the nectar of all of these names. How? Bringadipa. Like the king of the bumblebees. He's relishing all of this nectar like the king of the bumblebees. Just like we see after Tulsi Puja, all the devotees sit down. They're just like little bumblebees, relishing the nectar of the name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Just like little bumblebees. He says, bring Adipa, the king of the bumblebees. Actually, this example is given that the lotus flower has a special type of nectar. We know the bees, they like nectar. They go to the flowers to get nectar. But the lotus flower has got a special type of nectar we call makaranda. And that nectar just makes the bees mad. So this Maha Mantra is like makaranda. It just makes the devotees mad. In fact, maybe you've heard how sometimes the bee, he's drinking that nectar so much. And those who've been in Prakriti, you know that when it's nighttime, all the lotuses close. Because the lotus is a friend of the sun. Aravinda Bandhu Nandini. The friend of all the lotus flowers is the sun. So as soon as sun goes down, all the lotuses will close. And sometimes it is found in the morning, the bee is there dead. Actually, he knows, he sees the lotus closing, but that nectar is so sweet, he goes on drinking and drinking and drinking. That lotus closes, he doesn't care, he's going to die. That nectar is so sweet, he goes on drinking and drinking and drinking. And he dies. So in the same way, we have to relish the nectar of the holy name of the Lord. That nectar is so sweet, we want to come to that stage where we can realize that it is so sweet. That even death will come before us. We don't care. We just go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Sori, Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva, Ityadi Nama Amrita Panamata Brigadi Payakila Dukhantre. Because he's relishing that nectar of the holy name, therefore he's able to remove the sorrows of the people of the world. Now the next one, Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya Tatrananathaya Rasa Pradaya Sadasamukhanda Govinda Lila Gana Pravinaya Namostatubhyam. Sri Gauri Netrotsava, Netra we know means eyes, and Utsava is festival. And Mangal means auspicious. He's the auspicious festival for the eyes of Gauri. When Gauri sees her husband, it is a festival for her, an auspicious festival for her. Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya Tat Prananathaya. And he's the Pranana, the Lord of her life. Rasa Pradaya. And he's the giver of Ras. How he's giving Ras? Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya Tat Prananathaya Rasa Pradaya Sadasamukhanta Govinda Lila Gana Pradinaya Namostatubhyam. Sada, just like we sing in Tulsi Puja, Sada means always. Samutkanta, just like this is called, Kanta means a neck, so this is called Kanti Mala. And then what do you say, Kunti Mala? That is actually Kanti Mala. This is, goes around the kant, the neck. So Utkanta, sometimes our enthusiasm bubbles up to the neck. So that is called Utkanta, means very enthusiastic. Tadasa Mukanta, with great enthusiasm, what is he doing? Govinda Leela Gana. He's singing Govinda Leela with great enthusiasm. Praveena, maybe you know some devotee name or some Indian person named Praveen. Praveen means expert. He's very expert in very enthusiastically reciting Govinda Leela. Sarasa Mukanda Govinda Leela Gana Praveenaya Namostatubhyam. I offer my obeisance to that Lord Shiva. So by hearing this verse, you can understand how of the two, this was my favorite. Sadasam Tigori Netrotsava Mangalaya Tat Prananathaya Rasapradaya Sadasam Ukanda Govinda Leela Gana Praveenaya Namostatubhyam. It's Shivastakam that's found in Murarigupta's Karacha. And you can find it in a book from Dasara Sutra from next. Yeah, I only learned those two. They were so. Nari noted them down somehow or another, but it's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spontaneously created the Shivastakam. He entered some Shiva temple in South India. There's a whole book of by Dasarasa called Poetry of Mahaprabhu. We find so many things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that are ascribed to him, besides just the Shastra. Yeah. So anyway, we'll continue the tour of the holy places. Devastani Asi Kaila Vishnu Narasana Sri Vaishnava Navera Sangi Tahan Gosti Anukshana. At Devastan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Vishnu, and there he talked with the Vaishnavas in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya. These Vaishnavas are known as Sri Vaishnavas. So we know that there's four main Vaishnava disciplic successions. One coming down from here, this is from Lakshmiji. Sri means Lakshmi, so these are called Sri Vaishnavas. Then there's one coming from the four Kumaras, that is Nimbarka Sampradaya. Then there's one coming from Lord Brahma, that is Madhva Sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. And one coming from Lord Shiva, that is the Vishnu Swami, what do they call it? Rudra Sampradaya, excuse me, Rudra Sampradaya. See, here Mahaprabhu has talked with the Vaishnavas in the specific session of Ramanujacharya. Actually, Mahaprabhu took something from all of these, because we know we're following this Achincha Beda Ved Tattva. So he took something from all of the different Sampradayas, so especially Sri Sampradaya, they're very much into service, feeling themselves as servants of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu also relishes the association of the Sri Vaishnavas. Kumbhakarna Kapale Deki Sarovara Shiva Shetri Shiva Deki Gauranga Rasundara. At Kumbhakarna Kapala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a great lake and then the holy place named Shiva Kshetra, where a temple of Shiva is located. Purport. Kumbhakarna is the name of another brother, the name of the brother of Ravan. At the present moment, the city of Kumbhakonan is situated 20 miles northeast of the city of Tanjore. There are 12 temples of Lord Shiva located at Kumbhakonan, as well as four Vishnu temples, and one temple to Lord Brahma. Oh, this is interesting. Shiva Kshetra within the city of Tanjore is situated near a big lake known as Shiva Ganga. There's a large temple of the Lord Shiva there known as Brihatishvara Shiva Mandir. Brihatishvara, he's the great Lord Mahesh. It's like in North India, they say Maheshwara. Here it says Bratishvara. Bratishvara Shiva Mandir. Papanasani Vishnu Kaila Dara Sana Sri Ranga Kshetri Tave Karila Gamana. After visiting the holy place known as named Shiva Kshetra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanasana. And there he saw the temple of Lord Vishnu. Then finally he reached Sri Ranga Kshetra. Purport, according to some, the place known as Papanasana was located 8 miles southwest of Kumbakonam. Others say that the district of Tinabeli, in the district of Tinabeli, there is a city known as Palamakota. 20 miles west of there is a holy place known as Papanasana, near the river named Tamra Parni. Sri Ranga Kshetra is a very famous place. Near Trichinopoly is a river named Kaveri or Kolirana. A city known as Sri Rangam is located on this river in the district of Tanjore, about 10 miles west of Kumbakonam. The Sri Ranga temple is the largest in India, and there are 7 walls surrounding it. There are also 7 roads leading to Sri Ranga. The ancient names of these roads are the road of Dharma, the road of Raja Mahendra, the road of Kulashekar, the road of Alinadana, the road of Tiruvikrama, the Tirubidi road of Madam Madi Gaisa, and the road of Adya Iyavala Indana. The temple was founded before the reign of Dharmavarna, who reigned before Raja Mahendra. Many celebrated kings like Kulashekara and others, such as Alabandaru, resided in the temple of Sri Rangam. Yamunacharya, Sri Ramanuja, Sudarshanacharya, and others also supervised this temple. The incarnation of the goddess of fortune known as Godadevi, who was one of the 12 liberated persons known as Divya Suris, was married to the deity Lord Sri Ranganath. Later she entered into the body of the Lord. An incarnation of Karmukha Tirumanga, one of the Alavaras, acquired some money by stealing and built the boundary wall of Sri Rangam. It is said that in the year 289 of the age of Kali, the Alavara, interesting, we know this is Alvara, but here's Alavara, I think it's the proper Sanskrit, of the name Tondara Dipadi was born. While engaged in devotional service, he became victim to a prostitute. And Sri Ranganath, seeing his devotee so degraded, sent one of his servants with a golden plate to that prostitute. When the golden plate was discovered missing from the temple, there was a search, and it was found in the prostitute's house. When the devotee saw Ranganath's mercy upon this prostitute, his mistake was rectified. He then prepared the third boundary wall of Ranganath temple and cultivated a tulsi garden there. There was also a celebrated disciple of Ramanujacharya known as Kuresha. Sri Rama Pillai was the son of Kuresha, and his son was Bhagvijay Bhatta, whose son was Veda Vyasa Bhatta, or Sri Sudarshanacharya. When Sudarshanacharya was an old man, the Mahavanas attacked the temple of Ranganath and killed about 1,200 Sri Vaishnavas. My goodness. At that time, the deity Ranganath was transferred to the temple of Tirupati in the kingdom of Vijayanagara. The governor of Gingi, Gopanarya, brought Sri Ranganath from the temple of Tirupati to a place known as Singha Brahma, where the Lord was situated for 3 years. In the year of 1293 Saka, the deity was again reinstalled in Ranganath temple. On the eastern wall of Ranganath temple is an inscription written by Vedanta Deshika relating how Ranganath was returned to the temple. So we know Ranganath, Sri Rangakshetra is the seat of the Sri Vaishnavas, and amongst the Acharyas, we know them as Alvars. Here it goes Alavara, but we know them as the Alvars, and these Alvars are very, very famous and wrote many, many books, and the histories of these Alvars are all very, very interesting. We've got one godbrother from Sri Sampradaya, I'm just now forgetting his name, who can tell, he knows all the stories, whatever I can remember from what he's told. There was one of them is very important, is Tirumangai mentioned here. Is Tirumangai, previously he was a great dacoit. Now there was one apsara, for some sort of offense, I can't remember the offense, she had to come down to the earth. And there was one Brahmin couple that had no daughter, and they found her near the well. The wife went to fetch water, and she found this girl sitting there crying. And she asked who she was, and she told her history, that she'd fallen from the heaven. He said, we have no daughter, you can become our daughter. So they took her home and raised her as their daughter. And she, because she was from heaven, therefore she was exquisitely beautiful. Meanwhile, this Tirumangai, he was a great dacoit. And he was famous for attacking everybody on the path and stealing and all of these types of dacoity activities. So one day he happened to pass in front of the house of this Brahmin, and on the veranda, second floor veranda, this beautiful girl was walking. He saw this beautiful girl, he immediately fell in love with her. So he approached the parents, said, I want to marry your daughter. And they said, of course they knew this was Tirumangai, the great dacoit. They were a little frightened, but they didn't want to refuse. So very tactfully they said, well, actually, she's not our daughter, so we found her. So we don't actually have the right to give her away, but if she will accept you, this way they got out of the trouble. If she will accept you, then we have no objection. So he went upstairs and he told the girl that he wanted to marry her. And she said, you must become, first you have to become a Vaishnava. He said, what's a Vaishnava? He said, you have to go to the temple of Sri Ranganath and ask the head, I forget who the head priest was that time, and he'll explain to you what is a Vaishnava. And you have to be, you know, and explain, you have to have all the marks of the Sri Vaishnava. They brand the symbols of the four symbols of Vishnu on the shoulders. So anyway, so he went to the head priest. The head priest also began trouble. His Tirumangai, this great dacoit, has come. So he became a little nervous. He said, I want to know something about this Vaishnava stuff. We said, well, a Vaishnava is a devotee of Lord Vishnu. So how does one become a devotee of Lord? He has to worship Lord Vishnu. All right, so how do I worship Lord Vishnu? And you have to chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You have to mark yourself. All right, so mark me already. So anyway, he became marked as a Vaishnava. So he went back and said, all right, now I'm a Vaishnava. He said, but first you have to feed 1,000 Vaishnavas a day for one full year. He said, now look, just tell me everything at once. Don't give it one by one. He said, all right, if you want to marry, first you have to feed 1,000 Vaishnavas for one full year, and you have to feed them nice prasad, and after feeding the prasad, you have to wash their feet, and you have to drink that water. Then I will marry you. So he got all his dacoits out. He said, you go bring me 1,000 Brahmins. Poor Brahmins are walking around Sri. Are you a Brahmin? Yes, come here. And he sat them all down and had them fed them prasad. Before feeding prasad, he washed all their feet and he drank the water. And he was doing this every day. All the Brahmins of Sri Rangam, they were in fear of the dacoits. The dacoits would come and just grab them. Come, you have to come. We need 1,000 Brahmins. And every day he feed, you know. Finally, he became so ecstatic from feeding Vaishnavas and drinking the water that had washed their feet that they gave up all their dacoity activities. In fact, they finally ran out of funds to feed the Vaishnavas. But he was, by that time, he was so ecstatic, he forgot about marrying the Apsara girl. He was simply happy serving Vaishnavas. So he became so ecstatic serving Vaishnavas, he became one of the Auras. Since he had all these thieves, he used them to go out and do more thievery, and they built some of the walls of the... Maybe Radhagirman knows more, but anyway, they built more of the walls of... We read about this, somebody built the third wall. Anyway, I think he completed all the seven walls. And anyway, there's so many... But the point was, Tirumangai, he was a very low caste person. He was a dacoit, but he became a Vaishnava. So he's very important for us because it shows that even if we have very low birth, by chanting the holy name and serving Vaishnavas, we can become free from our position and be elevated also to the position of a Vaishnava. Then there's another one here. What was his name? Tondara Dipari. He was a very incredible Vaishnava. He couldn't see anything that wasn't related to the service of the Lord. And every day he would go, he would pick flowers and he worshiped the Lord, and he would pick flowers in a special garden and pick tulsi and make garlands for the Lord, and he would worship the Lord. And if there was something that wasn't related to the service of the Lord, he was unable to see it. So there was one famous prostitute who was very proud of her ability to attract any man. Somehow, somebody better, you can't attract this fellow. So she watched his activities. She said, I'm going to this garden every day. So she stood between the bushes, but he couldn't see anything that wasn't related to the service of the Lord. So he was picking flowers. He came, nothing there for the service of the Lord. So he just went to the next. And she was, that was a real insult, that he wasn't attracted by her beauty. Then she figured out that she's going to figure out how to make him fall down, whatever. So then she realized, she watched him every day, and she saw how many, she learned all the songs he used to sing for the service of the Lord. So somehow or other, I can't remember exactly, but she began to sing all these songs every day. He became attractive. And then one day it was pouring down rain, and she was singing the songs out. He was inside his hut, and she was singing all these beautiful songs that he used to sing, but in a very beautiful way. And somehow he invited her into his hut, and then eventually he became victim of her. So then the Nashri prostitute wanted money, so somehow or other he had no more money to satisfy the prostitute. So then she was very happy. Now she brought him down to this level that he was, you know. So then a messenger arrived at the door of the prostitute with this golden plate. And then everybody was surprised. Where, you know, they assumed that this was this fellow Tondirapadi. Meanwhile, in the temple, they found out that this golden plate of Lord Rangachetra was missing, and eventually it was found out in the prostitute's house. And everybody was amazed that to satisfy his devotee, even materially, Lord had brought this plate there. So then later, somehow, he became one of the very famous Auras. Kuresha, I've heard the name, and I know I remember hearing one time Radha Swami speak about him, but I can't remember Kuresha so much. Yeah. But anyway, I always remember Churumangai because he was, this was one of the proofs that even if one is born in a very low caste family, he can be rectified by chanting the holy name and serving Vaishnava. So, should we do some time for questions? The words are Keshav, you can mark down the next verses, 80, I believe. Yes.
Prabhu, you mentioned in the beginning of the class, speaking about the nectar that the bees enjoy.
Yes.
And of course, the analogy of the swan extracting milk from a mixture of milk and water, I just wonder, how is that? Have you ever witnessed such a thing?
Well, personally, although I lived in India for 31 years, I've never seen a swan in India. Although all our scriptures are filled with examples of swans and Hansa and Hamsa Bahan and Paramahamsa. Actually, in Brijbhasa, Paramahamsa means what we call a space case. In Brijbhasa, oh, Paramahamsa, it means a space case. But somehow it's there in the scriptures, so there must, you know. Of course, I've also read articles that what we think, the white ones that we think of as swans is different from Hans. Hans is another type of bird that flies way over the Himalayas, very high. I read one article like that, but I never witnessed this, but somehow the sages have described this, so it must be somewhere. But I don't know anything about it.
He didn't know of any scientific study to show that a swan can extract milk from water.
Where I did see swans was in Zurich, in Switzerland.
In Sweden, I saw swans that were huge, too. And
yeah.
Really big, scary ones. I was shocked by the first look. I said, oh, a swan. It's like, bigger than, you know, like 4 foot off the water. It was scary, a giant swan. So all the all waters are they Churumangai, they sang, they composed poetry.
Beautiful poetry, yes.
So they have a record of all their Kula Shaker is the most famous.
Yeah, we forgot to mention Kula Shaker.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class. And about the aloha, there's a 12 aloha. And according to the scripture, they said the different paraphernalia, the incarnation of different paraphernalia of the Lord, they took incarnation as 12 aloha in South India. And about Kuresh, he was a, what I heard from Atmatatapu, I have his...
That's what I was trying to remember his name, Atmatatapu.
Yeah, and one very famous pastime, I remember that he was... he was serving Sripad Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya went to the Lord and he said, make sure that none of my disciples ask anything, and if they ask also, don't give anything. You know, I don't want them to ask any material benefit or any boon or anything. Mm. And Kuresh went and he asked that I want to go to Vaikuntha. They said, okay, that's permitted. He said, you want anything else? He said, yes, I want another two devotees. They are very, very much offensive. They are always making Vaishnava Apurada and everything. And they don't have any chance to go. So I want them also to go. Then Lord says that anybody connected with you, they all will go back to Godhead. Then right after that incident, he came out, he was so happy and everything. Then Ramanujacharya said, what happened? What is the reason for happiness? So he came and he spoke to the Lord. He said, he just asked for the boon. So yes, he asked. I told you not to, none of my disciples should ask, and you should not give. What boon he asked? He said, oh, he wanted to go back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. He said, then what else he asked? He said, ask about the two devotees. And then said, two devotees, and then what did you say? He said, yes, they can also come, but anybody connected with Puresh, they will all go. And immediately Ramanacharya came outside of the deity room, and he was throwing his chadar uttari and jumping up and down, so happy. He said, then everybody saying, Guru Maharaj, what happened? What is the reason? He said, anybody connected with Puresh, they will all go back to Godhead. And I am connected with as a guru, so I will also go back to Godhead. So that was nice.
Yeah, I know there's lots of stories about Puresh, but I'm in North India, so I don't know this house so well. There's also some interesting story how Chiramangai got rid of all of his dacoits too. They were causing trouble, so I can't remember, but somehow he got rid of all the dacoits. Yeah, that's right, he took them in the middle of the river and sunk the boat, and he walked across the water. He engaged all the one. I can't remember. They're all expert in something. One could climb walls. One could break pick locks. All had a certain. So with all that wealth, he built the seven walls. But then he didn't know what to do with these guys. So then he got rid of them all. The South Indian history at all was very interesting. Anyway, if there's no more questions, we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada ki.